Welcome to the Doubles Only Tennis Podcast, where you learn the best doubles strategies to improve your game and win more matches. I'm your host, Will Bocek. This podcast, my website, and my weekly newsletter all focus on the goal of better understanding the sport of doubles and helping players like you improve faster through actionable advice that you can use in your very next match. My goal is to provide the best doubles strategy resources in the world. And to do that, I study, analyze, and work with players at every level of the game, all the way up to the ATP and WTA tours. If you enjoy this podcast, I've created double strategy products that go even deeper if you want to take your doubles knowledge to the next level. At the end of this episode, I'll explain more about them, or if you want to learn more now, go to thetennistribe.com/products. Here's today's episode. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Today we're doing an Australian Open preview episode for you. I'm joined by Hanlon Walsh and we're going to make some predictions and kind of go through the draw here. We're recording this on day two of the Aussie Open and day three, which is tomorrow, is going to be the start of the doubles. Hanlon, welcome back.
Good to be back. I think I'm on hour number five of listening to tennis podcast today. So glad to talk a little bit after listening pretty much all afternoon to other ones.
What was the biggest story of the day that everyone talked about on the tennis podcast?
Probably have to go with Nick Kyrgios withdrawing. Yeah. Huge bummer, obviously, for singles and doubles. And just with given the timing of, you know, the break point and Netflix coming out, him being a big star of that in episode one, I think it's a bummer for Aussie tennis fans, but you know, tennis kind of anywhere.
Yeah. So I watched Breakpoint over the weekend and yeah, they talked a lot about his doubles run last year. So that's going to be a big hit for doubles, which is obviously we don't like to see. Okay. So we've got the draws here in front of us. We've made our picks for each quarter. Let's start with the men's side. The top quarter, we have Kulhoff and Skubski as the top overall seeds. Also in that bracket and seeded, we've got Glasspool and Haleivaara at the bottom of the bracket. Jamie Murray, Michael Venus as 11 seeds. Gonzalez and Roger Vaseline as the 15 seeds. Who do you like in this top quarter here?
I went with a safe bet and picked Kulhoff and Skubski to make it out of there. They were just so solid last year. They won 7 tournaments and I think made 10 finals, you know, finished world number one, just had an insane year in 2022. And I expect them to back that up this year.
Yeah. They certainly had a good 2022. But they haven't had quite the same start to this year. So
they did lose. They did lose their first round last week, right? Or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. So I'm going to pull it up here. Yeah. So they lost first round in Adelaide 1 to Mello and McDonald in a tight 12-10 third set. And then last week, they did make the semi, so they won 2 matches, but then lost to Dodig and Krajicek 6-2, 7-6. So they're not in that same form they were last year. They don't have a super tough path to the third round or the quarters, but I think looking at this... Let's see. Yeah, coming out of this quarter.
They have a couple of tricky singles players in their first 2 rounds with Bublik in round 1 and then potentially Tsitsipas in round 2. I don't know. You know, matchup-wise, it may not be an issue, but just you never know.
Yeah. Bublik and JP Smith
That could be a JP tricky Smith's first round opponent.
Yeah, he's a good doubles player. He's from
Australia. The Smithinators.
Yeah, he's from Australia. So he'll have the home crowd on his side for sure. But in this quarter, I like Glasspool and Haleivaara. They have essentially not lost. Let me pull them up. They pretty much haven't lost this year. So they've won Adelaide 1, beating Murray and Venus in the finals. And then in Adelaide 2, they made it to the semis and then pulled out with, I think it was a hip injury. I forget, but it sounded not too serious. It sounded like they had just played a lot of tennis. So they did pull out of Adelaide 2, but yeah, they essentially hadn't lost a match in the last 2.5 weeks. So I'm going to go with them. They made a huge leap last year from 2021. You know, I don't think anybody had them picked in the top eight to finish the year, and they were able to do that. So I think they're going to improve again and get through, although they do have a tough first round against Nate Lammens and Jackson Withrow, who made the finals in Auckland last week. So yeah, I guess when I look at this a little closer, this is a little bit tougher quarter than I initially had thought. But yeah, that's who I've got coming out of this one.
Do you want to talk dark horses now, or do you want to wait on that? Because actually, my unseated dark horse is in this section too.
Kind of it's probably the same unseated dark horse I have. Go ahead.
Mine is Lammens and Withrow. I have them upsetting Glasspool and Heliovara in the first round.
Okay, so I considered that, and I, you know, that wouldn't surprise me as well as they played last week, but my unseated dark horse is also in this quarter, and it's John Isner and Hans Verdugo. Isner played such good doubles last year, early in the year, especially obviously winning Indian Wells in Miami. And yeah, I could just see him going on a tear again. Like he's essentially out of, you know, the chance to make a single semifinal anymore to Grand Slam. So, you know, maybe he's starting to think about, I can play doubles for a lot longer. Who knows? But I could see them making a run. So we will see.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think, Lammens and Withrow have really impressed me over the past, you know, couple months. They're both like just outside the top 40 now. So they're kind of creeping up the doubles mm-hmm. rankings. And they had two big wins last week in Auckland over Murray and Venus and mm-hmm. Granollers and Ceballos, and then also Chardy and Martin. So it was a good run for them making it to the finals of Auckland.
Yeah. Yeah, and they were right there with Mekdic and Pavic in the finals, I believe, as well. But yeah, those are all really good wins against really good doubles teams. So yeah, fair point there. So this next quarter is Mekdic and Pavic's quarter. Andreas Mies and John Peers are a potential second round matchup, or third round, excuse me. Fognini and Bolelli are in this quarter as well. Granollers and Ceballos are the fourth seed in this quarter. Who do you have for this one?
I've got Mekdic and Pavic.
I do as well. I do also have a... we decided to do a non-top eight seeded dark horse, and mine is in this quarter. Andreas Mies and John Peers. John Peers is from Australia. I think he'll have the home crowd behind him. He won this tournament, I believe, in 2017. I think that's right. And yeah, they're both semi-veteran doubles duo with a lot of experience, and I think they could make a good team. So definitely keep an eye on them as well.
Yeah, I think Mekdic and Pavic, just riding the momentum from winning last week in Auckland, and then also I just feel like they've got to be hungry for another major, having gone, you know, last year without winning one, and then 2021 mm-hmm. they had such a great year, breakout year as a team together. I think they'll be eager to start 2023 off strong, and they already have by winning their first tournament of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. And another unseeded team here is Gilles and Vliegen. So they won in a couple of weeks ago, beating Rajiv Ram and Joe Salisbury. So they won a tournament in India, I believe it was, and beat them on the way to the final. So that's another unseeded team to keep an eye on. I haven't watched them play a whole lot, but they did win that tournament. And then it looks like they lost in their first match to Ceballos and Granollers. in Auckland last week. So another team to keep an eye on there. So next we have the quarter with, it looks like they're at the bottom. So Arevalo and Rogier. So they're the three seeds in this quarter. They've got Haas and Middlekoop, and then Bopana, Ebden, and Dodig and Krychek. Who do you have in this one?
This one was a tough one for me, but I ended up going with Dodig and Krychek. I know that they had to pull out of their the finals last week against Arevalo and Rogier, but I'm assuming that was more just precautionary than anything, so they could be in good shape for the Australian Open. And I think they're, you know, in great form right now, probably the strongest team in this section. They do have a really tough, tricky first round against Mackie McDonald and Marcelo Melo, who had a good week last week. So tricky first round, but I think if they can get past that, they should be good to make it out of this quarter.
Yeah. Yeah. I had them as well. They just ended the year so well last year that I feel like they're just going to take that momentum, and they showed that a little bit last week. I think they're going to take that momentum into 2023 and make a deep run here. So yeah, I totally agree with you there.
Yeah, I think power rankings wise, they're, I know that Arevalo and Rogier are three and they're five, but I would put them in the top four power rankings. Just like you said, with the big fall season they had last year, and you know, they only started playing together midway through the season last year, so that they haven't had the same amount of time to build up points as Arevalo and Rogier have.
Yeah. Yeah. And then keep an eye on Bopana and Ebden too. I mean, Ebden with the home crowd, I think there's a big Indian fan base in Australia as well. So Bopana will have a huge crowd behind him. If they start to make a run, I'm sure they'll make some noise around the grounds and get the crowd on their side for sure, which could play a factor. Saw last year.
Have you heard why, I'm assuming it may be singles related, but why Ebden and Purcell aren't playing together this year and defending their runner-up title?
I do not know.
Purcell is in the draw with Jordan Thompson in the bottom half, but I know that he's also still pursuing a singles career. So that would be my guess. Maybe he wants to focus more on singles this year, and Ebden wants to play with a doubles first partner in Bopana. But I haven't heard for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know either. So this bottom quarter, this is the quarter. So we've got Ram and Salisbury. They're the two seed. Matos and Vega Hernandez, 13 seed. Cabal and Farah are the 12 seeds. And I believe this was the quarter with Kyrgios and Kokkinakis, if I'm not mistaken. Talk a little bit about this quarter. Who do you have coming through here?
I have Ram and Salisbury. I think they're, you know, they've just proven themselves over the past few years that they're the best and most consistent team at the, you know, the top of the doubles game. And they have such a great chemistry together. I know you've interviewed their coach Dave O'Hare before on the podcast, and the three of them seem to just really have a good unit together. So I think they'll come out of this. But I would also be interested to see how Mahut and Poots do together, you know, partnering up this year. And I think they were fortunate to take Kyrgios and Kokkinakis' spot in the draw, because previously they had drawn Murray and Venus, which would have been a really tough first round in more ways than one.
Right. Venus and Poots teamed up for the better part of the last couple of years. So I'm sure that would have been fun to watch. I was actually looking forward to that because they know each other's game so well. But for this quarter, yeah, I'm with you. It's one of those scenarios where, like, I'm not sure based on their result a few weeks ago at that tournament in India, like, I'm not sure how Ram and Salisbury are playing. And I was looking for a way to not pick them in this quarter. Kind of a hunch that, like, maybe they'll start the year a little slower since they finished the year so strong last year. But I just don't see anybody in here beating them.
Especially when you know, the Slams getting to play the full third set is going to favor the top teams. and especially the consistent ones like Ram and Salisbury. So I agree. I think they should be a lock to the semis, in my opinion.
Yeah. Okay. So you've got your four. Who do you have going on to the finals and winning on the men's side?
I picked Mektić and Pavic to win. And I think that they'll play Ram and Salisbury in the finals.
Okay, interesting. So for me, this is a hard one because I'm kind of going, like I said, like Ram and Salisbury is that team that you like, that team you really trust a lot, and they've like proven themselves over and over the years. But then you've got these other two teams in Glasspool, Heliovaara, Dodig and Krajicek. Obviously, Dodig's been there. He's proven himself over the years. But Krajicek, as of last year, he's relatively new to the, you know, Grand Slam contention stage. So I would argue that those two teams are maybe a little hotter. But I didn't pick before. I'm trying to think.
I argue that Dodig, Krajicek, and Glasspool, Heliovaara are hotter.
A little, right, well, Mektić, Pavic are playing good. I'm mostly talking about Ram and Salisbury, I'd say. For me, I think Glasspool and Heliovaara are going to take the next step. I think they're going to get through to the final against Dodig and Krajicek. And I feel like Dodig and Krajicek are going to win it. I think they had that taste at the French Open last year, and they want to win a major so bad that... You know, we saw they played well. Yeah, we saw they played well last week, and I think they've probably put in the work over the offseason to come in hot and do well here.
Yeah, they've had some heartbreaks too, didn't they? I know that obviously the French Open last year when they had several match points or championship points, but didn't they also go 0-3 in the ATP Finals group play and like all lose? I feel like I remember them losing really tight, a couple really tight matches.
Yeah,
I know they were in format.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they lost their first two in the third set, and their last one, they may. Yeah, I think it went to a third set as well. Yeah, they may have lost that as well. I can't remember. But yeah, I think they're ready to take that next step. So that's my pick. All
pretty
right.
Cool
so anything
to see two Americans in the doubles top 10 right now with Ram and Krajicek. And that they're both just selected to play Davis Cup next month in Uzbekistan after the whole Rajiv Ram Davis Cup debacle last year. It's nice to see two doubles players get that opportunity from the U.S.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm happy to see Raj on there, rightfully so. A couple months ago.
My only other team that we haven't mentioned, my 9 through 16 dark horse team, was Cabal and Farah. Just because that, you know, they play together for so long and have won a few majors together. They're also in the bottom portion of the draw. So interested to see how they do.
Yeah. Yeah. They started to play a little better. They made a good run at the US Open after not really going deep in, I don't think, any Grand Slams for the previous several. So that would not surprise me. Okay. So let's go over to the women's draw. In a way, this feels just overall, I was looking at it chatting with you before. In a way, it feels a lot more open to me. But in another way, it feels like the Czechs are just going to win again, like they always do.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a lot more, you know, as we kind of expected, just looking at the top teams, there's a lot more shakeup in the women's game at the beginning of the year. It's always interesting to see, you know, which teams stuck together from last year, which new teams have cropped up. And, you know, there's several intriguing teams at the top of the women's game this year that are new partnerships that we're excited to see how they do.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely a lot more so on the women's side. So we'll start with the top quarter. We have the Czechs as the top overall seed. This looks like to me the most difficult quarter.
I would agree.
But I do have them going through it because why wouldn't I? Katie McNally and Luisa Stefani are the 15 seed. Asia Muhammad, Taylor Townsend, the 12 seed. And then Krafchik ensures the sixth seed. Who do you have in this quarter?
This is a little bit of a spicy pick, but I've got the Americans, Townsend and Muhammad, going through this one. I think, you know, they won Adelaide 1 together, and then Taylor Townsend teamed up with Louisa Stefani to win Adelaide 2. So she's 8-0 on the year in doubles already. And I like them, their chances to keep the form. And obviously they've got a tough road, but I think it's a workable draw until they would meet the Czechs in the quarterfinals. And, you know, that would be a battle, but, you know, I like their chances to get through.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd expect them to make it to the quarters and meet the Czechs. The way Taylor Townsend is playing, I got to watch her a little bit last week, and yeah, I mean, two consecutive titles with two different partners. She's just on fire right now. So yeah, but I still have the Czechs. I think they're going to repeat this year. I'm not going to pick against them probably at all this year, unless they give me some reason not to. Siniaková did make the finals of Adelaide 1 and lost in the 10-point tiebreaker to Asia and Taylor Townsend.
That was part of the reason behind my picking them too, just that they kind of crossed that mental hurdle and you know, now they have added confidence over getting a win over Siniaková, who's, you know, very tough to beat in doubles. So that was a little bit of my reasoning behind it. But I know, you know, the Czechs are certainly going to be favored by most people.
Yeah. Yes. Siniaková was playing with the Storm Sanders / Hunter now. Is that right? So,
yep.
I think Krejcikova is just a better complement for her. They've been playing together longer. They're going to, in my mind, win the tournament. So, a couple other matchups. Well, let's move on to the second quarter here. So for those of you listening, Storm Sanders got married over the offseason, and her last name is Hunter now. So her name is Storm Hunter. So that's who we're referring to there. She has teamed up with Elise Mertens, who I think we were both surprised to see Mertens and Kudermetova split after winning the WTA finals here in Fort Worth last year. And they drew each other in the first round. So they're going to be playing Kudermetova and Samsonova in the first round. Also in this quarter, we have Rozolska and Routliff, Melikar Martinez and Perez, and Haddad Maia and Zhang Shui. This is a very tough quarter. What? Who do you have coming out of this one?
Well, first of all, I think it's interesting that going back to the split between Mertens and Kudermetova, because in Fort Worth, you know, after the at the press conference after they won, you and I were both sitting there and asked them, you know, point blank, are you guys planning to play together next year? And they, at that time, they, you know, they said that they were. Whether or not that was true, or maybe they, you know, had later conversations and ended up wanting to split. But I was surprised to see them split up after they had such a good run in Fort Worth and took out the Czechs in a great doubles final. But I've got Kudermetova and Samsonova getting out of this one. I think, you know, you and I both saw how Kudermetova was the best player in the WTA doubles finals last fall, and pairing up her with Samsonova, who's a really strong singles player and has also had good doubles results. I think that they will be a very dangerous unseeded team here if they can get past Hunter and Mertens in the first round.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is what I meant when I said that the women's draw feels a lot more open. It's crazy because they're unseeded, you know, but I also have them coming out of this quarter. I think, yeah, just watching Kudermetova in the WTA finals, she was the best player on the court in every match she played. And I think that that will continue, but honestly, nothing would surprise me in this quarter.
They've got a brutal section of the draw because Babos and Mladenovic could be a second round opponent, and they've won four majors together and both used to be number one doubles players. So that's a pretty brutal section right there with some of those unseeded teams.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of really good doubles in this quarter. I had Erin Ratliff on the podcast about a month ago. She's continued to improve every single year for the last 3 years. We saw the last 6 months of 2022, Melichar, Martinez, and Perez were arguably the best team on tour, and just missed the WTA finals. It wouldn't surprise me to see them come through. Leila Fernandez is teamed up with Bethany Maddox Sands, and they were in the finals in Auckland. I think they were up a set and one or two breaks. I think Fernandez was serving for the match and they didn't close it out and lost in a third, but they're were playing well there. Watch. Yeah. So, and they've drawn Haddad Maia and Zhang Shui, who are a great team as well. So, yeah, this is just a really tough quarter. Really, really tough. So
Maddox Sands and Fernandez will be, yeah, I think they'll definitely bring the crowds, whatever match they play, just knowing how popular they both are on and off the court. So that's a tough first round for both teams.
Yeah, it definitely is. Okay. So this third quarter is Dabrowski and Olmos. So if Dabrowski, Olmos are the 3 seed, Flipkins and Siegman are 13. Shibahara, Aoyama are 10 seeds, and then Kichanok, Ostapenko. Who do you have in this one?
I actually picked another unseeded team in this quarter, and I have Pavlyuchenkova and Rybakina getting out of this quarter.
Okay.
Didn't they make the finals of Adelaide 2 last year? Like, I mean, last week?
Last week, yeah, they did. So, yeah, so they have Kichanok, Ostapenko in the first round. Which is obviously a pretty tough matchup. I've got Kichanok Ostapenko coming out of this quarter. So the winner of this match is definitely in a good position to go through. And you're right, Pavlyuchenkova and Rybakina did make the finals last week and lost, I think, like 6-6 to Townsend and Stefani. So they are playing good. For sure. We also have Guarachi and Chan, who are a pretty tough doubles team. Shibahara, Aoyama are the 10 seeds, and they had a tough start to the year. Let me look this up. I know they lost first round. Let's see here. Yes, yeah, so they lost to Krafchik and Schurz in the first round last week, and then in Adelaide 1. They won a round and then lost to Townsend and Muhammad, who won the tournament. So that's tough. And they've had a lot of success in Australia. I think they made the finals 2 years ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
They had a great year in 2021. I remember following them and they, you know, I think in 2021, they won 5 titles and also made it to the semifinals of the year end championships. In Guadalajara. Yeah. So do you know if they split last year because of Shibahara's singles priorities?
I think so, but I don't know for sure. But yeah, they did split they played in Australia and then they split for most of the year. And it looks like they're back here for the Australian Open. And they're a really fun team to watch as well strategically. Like Aoyama's such a good mover at the net. And Shibahara has a massive forehand from the baseline. So if you have a chance to watch them, highly recommend that. So we already made our picks for this quarter. So let's move on. I guess we didn't talk about Dabrowski and Olmos. So they had a rough end to the year. I think they went 0-3 at the WTA finals. But they are back together. 1-2,
right?
1-2.
Yeah, that's right. Whenever Kichanok and Ostapenko, like last, you know, 12-10 or something, but they still didn't qualify because of the way the set worked out.
Yeah, that's right.
I think either way, probably a disappointing result for them not getting to the semis. And then they lost their first round last week, I believe, to Stozer and Melichar Martinez.
Yeah, they did. So we'll see how they do. They do have a relatively straightforward. I mean, I say that this women's draw is so open. Straightforward first couple of rounds, mostly against some singles players, it looks like. before they have to play any double specialists. So
Vincic Teichman could be tough second round if for Dabrowski and Olmos if they both win their first round, because they have played really well together and in Fed Cup, or Village and King Cup, excuse me. And then I think they won the silver medal together at the Tokyo Olympics. So that could be a tricky second round opponent for them.
Yeah, Teichman's a good doubles player as well. So moving on to this bottom quarter, we have Gauff and Pegula are the two overall seeds. And then Dan Alina and Sonia Mirza, who we thought for a while was going to retire at the end of the year, but it looks like she's going to play at least to start the year. We'll see how long she goes.
This is actually, she did announce that this is going to be her last major. And then she is retiring, I believe, after the Middle East swing sometime in February. But this will definitely be her last Grand Slam.
Okay, got it. So what do you make of this quarter? Who do you have coming through here?
I like Gauff and Pegula's chances to get out of this a lot. I know they had a tough run at the WTA Finals, but both of them have looked super sharp and confident in their singles game so far. And they have a fairly straightforward draw as compared to some of the top half, which is a lot more loaded with dangerous unseeded teams and just informed teams. I think they have a pretty workable draw to get to the quarters and, you know, and likely the semis. So I'm going to pick the Americans in this one.
Yeah. Yeah. I have them as well. One unseeded team that I just saw now, I don't know how I missed this earlier, is Kennan and Putintseva. So they have teamed up several times over the last year or so, and I feel like they've done well at a lot of tournaments. So they're an unseeded team to keep an eye on. Kennan, for some reason, is I guess at her backhand, she can go either direction, and she's had some decent results in doubles over the years. So that's a team to keep an eye on as well.
Yeah, didn't we watch them in Indian Wells or Toronto? I remember being impressed.
Yeah, we watched them. I was just looking it up. So we watched them in Toronto. They beat Kichanok and Ostapenko, and then made the quarters and lost to Sonia Mirza and Madison Keys. So, yeah, that's a team to keep an eye on as well. So
one more unseeded team that we haven't talked about is Sam Stosur and Elise Cornet. This is actually, speaking of retirement, this is going to be Stosur's last major as well. And she, I believe, has won, I know she's won 9 total Grand Slams. I want to say, I know 1 singles and a couple of mixed doubles, and then, you know, several women's doubles titles, both with Lisa Raymond and Zheng Tui. So she, you know, she's still a great doubles player. So I wouldn't take that team lightly. Elise Cornet is also, you know, capable of, you know, she's kind of been the upset queen in singles over the last couple of years at the majors. So I think both of them will probably revel in front of, you know, playing in front of the home crowd for Sam's last Grand Slam together.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point there. Okay. So who do you think, who do you have winning the WTA draw?
I've got Gauff and Pegula. I think they'll win their first major together down under.
Wow. I've got, shockingly, the Czechs.
really going out on a limb with the 1 and 2 seeds.
Yeah, I think that they are going to beat Kudermetova and Samsonova in the semifinal. I think Kichanok and Ostapenko will beat Gauff and Pegula in the semis and then lose to the Czechs in the final. I think Kichanok and Ostapenko they had a pretty good fall, winning Cincinnati. They did well at the WTA finals. I feel like they are going to carry some of that momentum into 2023 and do well at the Australian Open. So we will see. So let's take a brief look at the mixed draw. Oh, it's not out yet. Okay. I think that's going to wrap it up then, Hanlon. Anything else before we hop off here?
No, I think we covered it. I'm excited to see what just having Breakpoint, recently coming out on Netflix and spotlighting doubles quite a bit with this first episode. I'm excited to see, where this documentary could potentially take tennis just with new eyes and ears on the sport and also on doubles. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I hope it's popular. This was actually probably one of the better Grand Slams to do it before, since it's all on ESPN and it's at night, kind of in prime time for us. So I think that was a smart release. So for anybody listening to watch the doubles, excuse me, to watch the doubles, you can watch on ESPN3. So you go to watch.espn.com and you can stream any of the courts for the Australian Open. So definitely watch the men's and women's draw, see how our picks do, see if any of them flop, and I will talk to you next week. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Doubles Only podcast. If you're interested in diving deeper into any topics I discuss, I've created double strategy products that allow me to bring you more podcasts and other doubles content without relying on paid ads. I have ebooks and courses that help you make better strategic decisions during matches and become the smartest player on the court. Go to thetennistribe.com/products to learn more. You can also join my free weekly double strategy newsletter that includes video lessons and more on our homepage. If you want to connect, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, or email me directly, will@thetennistribe.com.